We are continuing our study in James, and I can't tell you how many people have told me, I really love the book of James. I like the practicality of it. I like the fact that it's to the point, just like Neil. I love everything about the book of James, and especially when I can use it to correct other people. And that's what we're going to talk about today, being judgy. And if you don't know what being judgy is, it's because you're not cool like me. It's being judgmental is what it means for those of you who are my age and older. But being judgy is something that we do all the time, whether we realize it or not. I think all of us in this room at some point this past week, whether we realize it or not, passed judgment on somebody. And we do it so often that we don't even realize that we're doing it. It's one of those things that we go through our life and we look at circumstances and we just judge somebody over a few seconds that we have that. Now, I don't want to be judgy, but I already have an opinion on how you're going to take my sermon today. Because that's what we do, amen? And the passage here, let's read it again real quick, because Martell did such a good job. I want you to hear it one more time. It says, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on there is only one lawgiver and judge, and the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? You want to get to the bottom line of this passage right here? It's when you judge other people, you are playing God. When you judge others, we are playing God. If you look at your lessons note, there's the blank there. You are playing God, and that is something that we do all the time, whether we realize it or not. We sit in judgment of other people, and when we are in judgment of other people, we are playing God. Well, why do we like to be judgy? I think we've got two reasons why we like to be judgy. The first one is we want to excuse our own faults, right? We want to excuse our own faults. It is so much easier for me to tell you what's wrong in your life than for me to look at me and say, this is what's wrong for me in my life. It's so much easier to do. It's so much easier for me to look out and see other people's sin and not look and see my own. As a matter of fact, we do this so often that some people have become really good at it. Well, Romans 2 and verse 3 says, so when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them, yet do the same things. Do you think you will escape God's judgment? Well, here's how we do this. Number one is we do it by relabeling what we're doing. We relabel what we do. You know, instead of somebody saying, I'm a gossip, they say, I'm just sharing my concerns. Instead of saying, I'm not lazy, I'm just mellow. I'm not negative, I'm just being realistic. I'm not unreliable, I just need to be flexible. I'm not critical, I'm just discerning. You see, we take the very sin that other people are doing, we have it in our life, and we can be critical of others, but when it comes to our own self, we relabel it so we can excuse our bad behavior. Second thing we do is we get amnesia. I know there's some people in this church that get amnesia because they'll sit back and they'll watch what somebody else has done in their life, and they will forget that they have done the same thing in their life. And these people don't have a clear conscience. They actually just have a poor memory. That's what it boils down to. All of us in here have sinned at some point in our life. One of the ways that I see this from time to time is people will be critical of teenagers. Now, teenagers, just understand this. Every once in a while, some of these old adults in here, they're going to get critical of you, because what they have forgotten is at one time they were a teenager. And they did the same things that you're doing today. And they have forgotten it because their memory is poor, because they're old. Letter C, what we do is we redirect. Amen. We redirect. I see this happen all the time with kids. When I heard it today, somebody hit me. And they said, "Why did you hit him?" And they said, "Because they did this." And we redirect our sin and put it on other people. When we redirect our sin to others, we sit in judgment of that person. And here's one of the ways we can do it. Let's just suppose that we find out. Let's just pick on Austin today. Let's just say Austin owes $20,000 in credit card debt. I know, that's a lot. But then I owe $10,000 in credit card debt. And when I owe $10,000 in credit card debt and Austin owes $20,000 in credit card debt, let's just for a minute think about, am I any better than Austin? No, we both owe a debt, and that's what you need to see. The second reason why we like being judgy is it appeals to our pride. We love to be judgy because it appeals to us, because when I can look down on you, when I can judge you, I don't have to judge myself, and I can feel good about myself. I would never do what they're doing. I would never say what they're saying. I would never go where they're going. One of the things that you need to understand is Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 22 says, "Gossip is so tasty, how we love to swallow it." You see, slander is seductive. It captures our attention. As a matter of fact, do you remember the National Enquirer? Is that still out today? If you know that it's still out today, it's because you're still reading it and you need to repent. But years ago, when they were advertising the National Enquirer, one of the things they did is they said, "Inquiring minds want to know." Like, we need to be in the know about what celebrities are doing in their bedroom. And they, instead of saying we need to gossip, they were saying we need to have inquiring minds. Well, here's what we do is we want to know what other people are doing so we can sit in judgment on it. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I heard is there is big money in muck, because that is all that rag was, is mucking other people's behavior. Well, see, there's first-degree slander, and that would be when I just came right out and said something negative about Monty. That's first-degree slander. If I just came right out and said something negative about Monty, that would be first-degree. But there is second-degree slander, and that's please pray for Monty, because he's going through a rough time right now. I see it in the church so many times that we use prayer as a way to gossip about what other people are going through. And if you don't know what gossip is, I'm going to explain it to you. If you're not part of the problem and you're not part of the solution and you're talking about it, that's just pure gossip. And we need to quit doing that. So, why being judgy is wrong? Letter A, it's I'm being unchristian. It says, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them. I know Christians, and if you're in this church, you probably don't realize you're doing this, but I know Christians, their gift, they think their spiritual gift is the gift of criticism. They go around, they judge what the elders are doing, they judge what the preacher is doing, they judge what the deacons are doing or not doing, they judge what the teacher says. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite stories is this family of four, they got out of church and the father said, "Oh, that sermon was one of the worst I've ever heard." And the mother said, "Well, it's not just the sermon, the song leader drags all the songs all the time." And the teenage daughter said, "Oh, my Bible class teacher is so rough. He has no idea how to relate to teenagers." And the little five-year-old says, "I don't know. I thought it was a pretty good show for 50 cents. You see, some people are so critical of others, they feel like it's their spiritual gift. But the real reality of it is criticism does not come from God. Now, I want you to hear that for just a minute here. Criticism does not come from God. Do you realize that the word slander and the word devil come from the same root word? So when you slander other people, when you're critical of other people, you are being just like the devil. Ooh, this is hard to hear, isn't it? But that's what James is telling us. It's being unchristian. Now, letter B, I'm being unloving. It says, anyone who judges them speaks against the law. Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute. I underline the word "the law" there. Because if you look at the law books, and I don't know how many laws there are on the books, there is not a single law on the books in the United States that says you can't judge other people. Not a single one. So what law is he talking about? He is talking about his law, God's law. James 2 and verse 8 says, if you really keep the royal law found in the scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. The only time that we are able to look at somebody and know what the law is because of what God has said, not what the United States law is or any other laws. See, I don't worry about when they pass laws that are not in conjunction with what Christians should be doing, because you know what? We have a greater law than any law that can ever be written here in the United States. Some of us get so turned up about what's going on in politics today. And if we would spend just the same amount of time getting turned up about making sure our life is on target with what God's doing, we would be so much happier. And we'd have so much more time. Do you realize how much time it takes to stay up with the news? Because every few seconds we have another news blip. Amen? All right, so we're gonna stop being unloving. Letter C, I am unqualified. The reason why I shouldn't be judgy is I am unqualified. It says there is only one lawgiver and judge. Who are you to judge your neighbor? The word lawgiver is only given 6 times in the Bible and only once in the New Testament. And every time it has to do with the fact that God is giving the law. Only God has the right to judge. We do not have the right to judge. We are judging ourselves when we are we are to judge ourselves and judge certain matters, but there are 7 times that it says in the scriptures here that we should not judge other people. Let's go through these scriptures real quick. Romans 2, 1 through 3. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them, yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? When you are doing the same thing is when we shouldn't pass judgment. As a matter of fact, when we hear somebody has done something wrong and we have done the same thing in the past, we should have empathy on them. And that's one of the things that I see from time to time in Christians. And if you miss Wednesday night's class with Matt Hathcock, you can watch it online. But Matt just did a really good job of explaining his childhood and how some people could not be empathetic with Matt at all. And then certain people came in his life and they were empathetic towards him and helped turn him around. Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eyes. When I am blind, when it blinds me to my own sin, when it blinds me to my own sin. So many times when we are sitting around in judgment of other people, it's because we don't want to take the time to look at ourselves. We don't want to take the time to think about what we need to change in our life. It is so much nicer for me to sit back and say, Neil, you've got it all together. You have nothing to worry about. Oh, I'm doing everything just right. But look at Jason over here. I can be so critical of Jason if I wanted to, because I've got everything going on. You see, the problem is when we're critical of others, it blinds us to our own sin. John 7, verse 24, oh, by the way, Matthew 7, verses 3 through 5 is Jesus' idea of a joke. I don't know whether you realize this, but Jesus had jokes from time to time. And this one right here is one of them, where he talks about me trying to get a speck out of Jason's eye and I've got a beam in my own eye. That's an idea of Jesus' joke. Number three, John 7, 24, stop judging by mere outward appearance, but instead judge correctly. It's when I'm looking at outward appearances. When I start looking at outward appearances, we judge most people within 15 seconds of meeting them. That's what we do. We automatically judge people within 15 seconds of meeting them. My friend, my best friend in high school, I'm going to just tell you this story because you need to understand how we judge people from outward appearances. My best friend in high school, when I first met him, we were working at Belts. We were both 16 years old. And he came into the store, and I looked at him and looked at the way he walked and looked at the way he talked and looked at the way he acted, and within 15 seconds, I decided I did not like him because of the way he was dressed and the way he acted. I just decided I didn't like him. Well, God had other plans, obviously, because the store manager put me in charge of training him. And so for the next few weeks, I had to train him. And I'll remember the very first day that he came into work. He didn't have any money. He didn't have anything. And he came in, and I said, we trained for a couple hours, maybe 4 hours. And after we got through training, I looked at him, and I said, well, it's time for your break. You've got an hour between now and when you have to go back to work. And you can go to the break room and eat your dinner, or you can go out and get something to eat. You just got to be back in an hour. And he says, okay. And I looked at him and I said, do you have anything to eat? He says, no, I don't have anything to eat. I'm like, here's a guy I don't even like. And he's hungry. And I knew enough scripture that I knew I had to feed him. So I took him to Wendy's. And we had Wendy's together that night. And that began me taking people out to dinner at 16 years old. And I'm going to just tell you this. I do not begrudge any meal I have bought anybody, because it's always my way of saying I love you. That's what it is. It's just my way of saying I love you. And I took him out to eat, and we sat there and we talked, and then he made a joke and I laughed. And the next thing I knew, he and I were having dinner together every single night. But I had already prejudged him in the first 15 seconds of meeting him. We do this consistently, and we do it unconsciously, where we look at people and we decide that we're going to judge them. Well, the second way is John 7, verse 51. Does our law condemn a man first without hearing all the facts or finding out what he has done? It's when I don't have all the facts about things. The elders are doing everything they can to move this church forward. But you know what? They don't always have all the facts. And I'm going to tell you this. You as a church don't always have the facts. As a matter of fact, one of the things I want you to understand is that there are some Christians that the only time they get exercise is when they start jumping to conclusions. And you need to realize you don't always have all the facts of what's going on with people, where they've been, and why they're doing what they're doing. And so don't judge people because we don't have all the facts. Colossians 2:16, therefore do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. When I judge a person's spirituality based on external religious observance. And I've seen this so much in the church. I've seen this so much around Christians. There are people that condemn other Christians because they don't listen to Christian radio only. There are people that condemn other Christians because they go to certain movies that they feel like they shouldn't do. And then there are other Christians that I had a situation that my brother, who I love dearly, he decided that it was time to boycott Disney. He was just like, Neil, they're just going down the wrong path. We need to boycott Disney. And I said, well, I don't like Disney anyway, so we're not going, so I don't have to boycott anything. But the funny thing of it is he decided he wanted to boycott Disney as a Christian, and now his older son lives in Orlando and has a year-round pass. What books we read. We judge others saying they shouldn't read that. We judge other Christians because they have Halloween or they don't have Halloween, or because they celebrate Christmas in one way or they celebrate Easter in another. We do it by external religious observances. James 4:11, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. Whenever I judge someone and it causes me to speak evil of them, when I judge someone and it causes me to speak evil of them, I should not judge. 1 Corinthians Chapter 4 and verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in the darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. And that's when I judge the motives of others. And what we need to understand is you have to understand this verse in context of everything that was going on. When Paul was talking about this, he was talking about motives. Everywhere Paul went, Paul's motives were in judgment. People were judging his motives. And what he's saying is, we have no right to judge the motives of others because we don't have all the facts. We can judge somebody's action, but we can't necessarily judge someone's motives. And, you know, when we judge other people, it's not just with our words. Have you ever gotten that look? You know what I'm talking about, the one that Nancy gives me when she thinks I'm doing something wrong? And you've gotten it from your spouse, or maybe you got it from your parents. My mom had a way of looking at us when we were younger, and we knew we were in trouble. So we get to be judgy even when it comes to the way we look at people. Well, how do I break this habit of being judgy? Now, I know all of you in here are thinking to yourself, I don't have a problem with this. But if you really look into your heart, everybody in here has a problem with this. And we need to learn how not to do it. Number one, remember that I will be judged by the same standards. It says, do not judge, or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. When my sons were younger, and they would be mad at each other, and one of them would do something wrong, I would always look at the other brother and I would say, okay, he did this. What do you think we should do to punish him? And they would look and they got a little concerned. And I said, now just remember, because if you ever do this, I'm going to punish you in the same way. And when we look at each other and we pass judgment on one another, God's up in heaven and he's saying, wait a minute. If you're going to judge him like that, I'm going to judge you like that. Second thing, we need to remember that I am accountable to God. I am accountable to God. Romans 14, verses 12, and the first part of verse 13. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. I need to focus on my sin and what I need to do and not other people's sin and what they need to do. Number three, I need to remember how merciful God has been to me. James 2, verse 13, mercy triumphs over judgment. I'm reading a book right now. I've read it before. It's called Atomic Habits. It's a really good book, got a lot of good stuff. It's a secular book, but the guy that wrote it is a Christian and brings in some of his ideas about Christianity and how it works. But one of the things that he did is he gets up every morning and he goes on a Thanksgiving walk, where he gets up every morning and he just starts his day by walking outside and giving thanks for the things that he has in his life. And I really think that's something that we should all do. As a matter of fact, I have been trying to give thanks more now after reading that and remembering that. I have been trying to make sure that I am thankful for things. But you know what I have noticed? The more thankful I am for what God has done for me, the less judgmental I am of other people. The more gratitude that I have in my life, the more opportunities I have to show grace and mercy and generosity to others. And isn't that what we're supposed to be? Aren't we supposed to be a light to the world? People don't need someone else judging them. They're pretty much judging themselves pretty harshly already. What people need is encouragement. What people need is love. What people need is compassion. There's already a judge in heaven that's going to judge them. We don't have to. What we need to do is show mercy like we've been shown mercy. Show forgiveness like we've been shown forgiveness. And love like we've been loved. We sing an invitation song, and I want you, if you need to respond in a public way, I want you to respond in a public way. But as I was doing this lesson And I'm close to a lot of you in here, I began to think to myself, if we really had an invitation song where everybody should respond, it should be today. You're laughing because you know it's true. It doesn't matter whether you're an elder, you're a preacher, or you're a deacon, a Bible class teacher. I don't know anybody in this room that's not judgy from time to time. And so if we really had an invitation song, there wouldn't be enough room up here for all of us. And the thing that I always want you to remember is that if you come to worship and you hear something in God's Word, or you feel something during communion, or you think about something during a scripture reading or during a song that you need to change in your life, I would say you leave here changed. And today, all of us in here need to leave here changed, being less judgy, if you will. So on that note, I'm going to offer a prayer before we sing the invitation song to save you some steps. If you bow with me, please. Dear God, please forgive us for the times we have tried to play you. We have been judgmental towards others, not just with our words and our looks, but mostly, Father, in our hearts. Help me to see people with compassion instead of criticism. Remind me that everyone is carrying a burden that I may not understand. Give us the strength to choose love over pride, patience over anger, and kindness over harsh words. Fill our hearts with the wisdom so that we can treat others the way you called us to, with grace, humility, and understanding. Teach us to love one another better each day, and let my words and my actions reflect your mercy. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.